This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay. Ladies, welcome to our Einenu teleconferencing shiur. Tonight is an honor and pleasure to welcome Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Greater Washington Yeshiva. Our shiur tonight is being sponsored by an Einenu member, Le'ilu Nishma, several members of her family who were nifter in the month of Av. Her mother, Gitzel Bas Moshe, her grandmother, Gresham Bas Zev, another grandmother, Sarifka Bas Menashe, an aunt, Sarafina Bas Avraham, an uncle, Mori Ben Avraham, and may they all be a melech yosher for the family and for all of Klal Yisrael, especially the heirs of Parnassah, Shidduchim, health, and Shalom al Yisrael. Hashem should protect Yagin all his Yiddish children. Beautiful tefillah, a beautiful bracha, and we second that. Ladies, next Wednesday night, our speaker will be Dr. Abraham Yeager. His topic will be reincarnation and the Asara Haruge Malchus. With the situation in Eretz Yisrael as serious as it is, we encourage everyone to join us whenever they can, each day, twice a day, as we daven for the safety of Eretz Yisrael, the safety of the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, and for Klal Yisrael around the world. We say Tehillim twice a day over the phone at 1:15 and 8:30 p.m. New York time. Each session takes only a few minutes, but our tefillahs are powerful when we say them together. We will be saying Tehillim on Tisha B'Av. We got upset. We're allowed to. We're going to be doing it on Tisha B'Av at 1:15 and 10:30. Let's make sure Hashem knows that we hear the knock at the door. And now about tonight's teleconference. As I said at the beginning, Einenu is honored and privileged to host Rabbi Lapiansky tonight. I want to publicly thank the Rosh Yeshiva for taking time off of his busy schedule to speak for us. In addition to being Rosh Yeshiva and giving daily shiurim and all that entails in his yeshiva, Rabbi Lapiansky is a sought-after international lecturer and an accomplished author. Rabbi Lapiansky's breadth of knowledge on the widest array of topics in both Limud HaKodesh and Limud HaChol make his shiurim all the more inspiring and fascinating. What is it that makes the shiurim so sought after? Rabbi Lapiansky has a unique teaching ability that lures one into the depths of Chazal, pulling out profound messages as well as inspirational and practical lessons for life. His depth of understanding and broad application of the sugyas provides the listeners with a new clarity and insight into the many facets of Torah. Tonight's shiur will be Shiur 454 on Kol Lashon. The topic tonight, Devarim, hindsight is more important than foresight. So now, before we start though, Shana, are you on? No, Shana's not on. Okay, that's not so good. Okay, Rabbi Lapiansky.
Yes, I am.
I have to find the
mute button.
Oh, okay, fine. No, because Rabbi Lapiansky would like to put the phone down on his desk and speak like that. But Shana is the one who tells us it's a good night. So, Shana, Rabbi Lapiansky is going to start off like that. If you don't like it, then I'll have to put the phone to his ear, but it's a little bit more annoying, okay?
I want to make a correction, please. We're going to be saying Tehillim at 1:15 in the daytime and Matzah at 10:30, not Leil Tisha B'Av.
Okay. You're right. You are right. That is correct. Okay, yeah, Shana knows. Yeah, that's true. Okay, good. Okay, so now we're going to go back. So, Lapiansky, please begin your shiur. And if Shana doesn't like it, she's the principal here. She'll tell us.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good evening. One small correction on the introduction. The yeshiva's name is Teferes Gedalia Yeshiva, Greater Washington. It had been renamed after its founder and head of over 50 years, Rabbi Dalia Einemar Zatzal. So it's the cover that the yeshiva carries. His name, he founded it and kept it for close to 50 years. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, we start.
It's okay like this, as long as there's no feedback. If there's any kind of feedback or noise, please pick up the phone again. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. So people's nature is that we would like to get meaning in life. First and foremost, everybody wants to know what's going to happen, and that's why everybody runs to all sorts of wonderful mikubalim and so on to know what's going to be. It's natural, and it's people want to know what to do, and they feel that it's a very grim thing to do. Well, the pasuk seems to frown on it. The pasuk says, "Tom Tiamat Malakecha," so on, it does say that a Navi can tell us, but the first thing the Pasuk tells us is that we need to not query after future. People also believe in Ashgacha, and they therefore feel very strongly that anytime something happens, they need immediately to understand why it happened and everything about it. That is certainly an inyan that when we live in a difficult time, in Eloleinu, a stir of some sort, it definitely requires us to do tshuva and so on. That's all true, it's all correct. But the idea that it's important to right this second to know, or that even we can know right this second, is not so clear, and we will see later on something about that. What we really need to try to figure out is what happened, and that we'll talk about and get a sense of the Torah Shkafa on the importance of getting a sense of hindsight. I'm sorry, the phone just fell again. Okay, so now let's take a look at the virus.
I'm sorry, Valentina. Shandy, is your phone muted? Are you listening? You're not listening?
I'm listening. Okay, mute. Yeah,
can you mute your phone, though? Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the pasuk starts. Elad varmis adibah Moshe kol Yisrael bevayavim bemidbar barova mul soif beparim ben toif avolam dechaseris. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts Sefer Devarim, which is a review of Torah. He starts it by listing all the places they went to. So Chazal tells us, Rashi tells us, that the reason is because he wanted to give them mussar about things that happened in different places, but he disguised it with the places. So that certainly is right about the mussar, but I think the naming of the places and giving the mussar by naming the places has an added significance to it. And I want to read a Sfas Emes. Again, I will read just a very small piece of it and explain it. In Masei, the Sfas Emes goes by years, Tafresh Lamed Hei. He explains why Moshe Rabbeinu lists every single place they went to, and he says, "V'zemayla gdol Moshe Rabbeinu, shechazal ibn Yisrael kol taluchas hanagoso miyetzias Mitzrayim adosam la'aretz." It's a tremendous mila. It speaks highly of Moshe Rabbeinu that he reviewed the entire journey and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Kenneth Eretz Yisrael. V'chein tzorach lios al chol ish Yisrael. So too every Jew, shenikra mehalach. He is called a mehalach, a journeyer. V'tzorach lisko b'soif koil, madrigoisov es kol asher ovalov mascholos mehalchoi. And when a person gets to the end of a journey, he needs to recap how he had gotten there. V'chein matzino, we find that by Yaakov Avinu. He says, b'makli avarti asayad nazer, and then he recaps how he had come from nowhere and gotten to where he was. So the Sfas Emes says that his point, the main point he wants to make there, is about humility. In other words, a person, in whatever walk of life a person has become chashev, that is, a person tends to think retroactively, that's how he was. So if a person is very wealthy, a person thinks he was born into it. A person is very accomplished as a Talmid Chacham, he thinks he was born into it, and so on. So a person, if he remembers every single person started from a certain nowhere, every single person had full steps and so on. So that brings about a certain humility. That's one aspect. That's, I think, the main point that he tries to say. I'd like to try to understand the process that he mentions. And especially, he says something extremely pointed. He says, every person needs to do it because he's called a mahalach. A mahalach means that, just like, for instance, if you want to show somebody a picture of a statue or of a tree or of a house, a picture is really the best way to do it. You snap a picture, you send the person. Imagine you want to send the person a picture of somebody running a race. So a picture really, really is not going to do it justice, because it's a frozen instant when he's really not walking, he's not running. At the moment that the picture snapped, it's frozen. You really want to send a video of it, because you need to show the motion of it. A person is called a mahalach, a journeyer, because a person is never to be seen as a frozen slice of time. That's not the person at all. We have a bit of a misconception about it. And we think, let's give a mashal. Imagine a person wants to build a shelf. So he takes the wood, he measures it off, he puts up the brackets, and so on. So there's a lot of pachkarai. The pachkarai is just a means to get the bracket onto the wall. If he could have avoided it, of course he would have avoided it. There is nothing in the process that in any way has what to say in the final product, except as history. Yes, it took me an hour to put it up with a lot of schwitzing. Imagine a person is a painter, and he goes through different kufis in life, and slowly his painting develops. And he begins to put in different types of colors and different types of lines and whatever it is that makes painting painting. So really, the final effort, his best works that come last, are an accumulation of all of the different things that went into it. It's not just a means and everything is scratched out. But if you want to take a look at his final work, you really are seeing over here a sort of confluence of all of the person's of the different things that he learned, the different things that he noticed, and the different techniques he developed, and so on. So Adam is called a mahalach, and it means that the person is journeying, and a real avodas Hashem requires a certain retrospective, a certain way of looking back and trying to understand where the pieces have taken him to. I want to say over a fascinating Malbum. The Malbum is in Shmuel, and it's Shmuel Aleph, it's Perek Tes, and it's about the process of them making Shaul HaMelech king. And Shaul HaMelech's father, Kish, lost a bunch of donkeys, and Shaul spent a few days with a assistant trekking up and down as Israel, and the pasuk goes to all the places that they went to look for the donkeys. And finally, Shaul told his helper, you know, we better get home because my father's going to stop worrying about the donkeys and stop worrying about us. So the helper suggests, he says, you know, there's a Navi around there, Shmuel HaNavi. Let's go and ask the Navi. So there's a Shaila here, and there are different answers. But the Malbum asks it very strongly. He does not feel that Nevi'im were lost and found stations. Everybody who lost his watch somewhere didn't knock on the Navi's door and say, could you tell me where my watch is, or where my wedding ring is, or whatever it is. Certainly, a bunch of donkeys escaped, and Shmuel HaNavi, some Rishonim do say that yes, that was part of it, but the Malbim very strongly holds on like that. And the Malbim says a fascinating insight into the pasuk, and the words read exactly what Malbim says. Malbim says they were not looking for the donkeys anymore. But Saul was a big person. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him to be the first king of Israel. He was greater in many ways than David, as far as Avedis, but he just wasn't fit at the end to be the Melech. But he was a big person. When the Pasuk says he was Meshichmo Lemaila, that he was taller than everyone else, it means in stature as well. So he says to himself, Saul, the helper says, you know, Saul HaMelech has been spending days chasing donkeys up down at Israel. That's not where we've been going to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us somewhere. And therefore he says, and if you read, I'm going to read over the words, Neil Hashem, let's go to the Navi. Ulai Yagidlon es darkeinu asher halachnu aleha. Maybe he can explain to us the road that we have traveled. In other words, what is it that we're headed towards? Where have we been going? What has the Kadosh Baruch Hu been doing with us? So the point of asking the Navi wasn't to find the donkeys, but it was to understand where they had arrived. They had journeyed someplace, and the journey had done something to them, and they needed to understand it. The one who actually makes this point, and to Rishonim, and I think it gives us a completely different perspective on Hashgacha. One of them is the Drashas Haran, and they have an Ezra, and one of them is the Rambam Mor Nevuchim. And I want to first, I'll start with the Drash Haran and the Ezra. They say something very similar, and they are, and then the Rambam Mor Nevuchim gives a much, he adds insight into it. Devin Ezra was first chronologically in the Rambam, and then Drash Haran. Drash Haran does mention the Rambam, but he just points at one Nekuda, and the Rambam has another Nekuda behind it. The Devin Ezra, they all speak about Beshalach. And it says in Pasha Beshalach, V'lo nochem alakim derech eretz plishtim, HaKadosh kikarevu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take them through Derech Eretz Plishtim. So Rebbe Ezer says, fools think they understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Take a look. Over here, they were doing things, they were going someplace, and nobody could guess where they're going to. Nobody could have guessed because it looked so out of place. They were going the wrong direction. And therefore, any time you look and see things happening, person should not rush and say, oh, I get it. You don't get it. Because they seem to be headed in one direction and ended up going 40 years in this direction. That's what Nezah says it in two words. The Drash Haran adds to that, and he says, we never, ever will know what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for us from us until the very end of the process. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not our peer. I mean, if I think that the best way to do X is in a certain way, Mistama Kadosh Baruch Hu also thinks like that. When a person second guesses Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, I get it. I know what's happening. In a certain sense, the person is making a tremendously arrogant statement. He's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks like me, and I hop it, and that's what I see. So Ram says, take a look. Every step of the way, they went back, they got themselves chased, they took off in the wrong direction, they wandered away. There's nothing there that anyone could have guessed where are we going now and what's happening now. And it's only at the very, very end of the process that we could possibly understand. And then we do understand, when we came to Israel, we understood retroactively where we had been going and the Derech HaShalach Nalev. The Drash Haran quotes the Rambam, but the Rambam makes another a point which really explains this in an extraordinary way. The Rambam says as follows. The Rambam is coming actually from a very different point. The Rambam has certain time and mitzvahs that seem to give a reason for a mitzvah that's indirect. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do karbanos for a different reason. And the Rambam says, I know that you will be upset or you'll argue with the way I presented it. And I know that you're going to tell me, well, Kadosh Baruch Hu should do things directly. Why would you say he's giving me mitzvah A for goal B to bring it to C? He says, well, I have a pasuk for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and led us in a very, very roundabout way. Why could he not have led us straightforward? And the answer is because we were too weak, we'd run away, and snap, and so on and so forth. So Ram says, so why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us strong, strong-willed, and eager to do what we're supposed to do, eager to go that direction? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have done that? And the Rambam says, you missed the point. And the Rambam says as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tachlis in the Bria is not to get us to a certain point. It's to get us to a certain point. In other words, imagine I want to take my child and bring him to home from the street. So since my tachlis is at this point to get my child to the home and he's not eager, I do have the option of picking him up, whether he likes it or not, and just carrying him in and dumping him into the house. So at that way, I will have gotten him into the house. But I will not have gotten him to come into the house. I will not have changed the child that he should understand that if it's at night and whatever it is, he should be home now. I'll have gotten him to the point, but there is no change or development in the person. So if the tachlis of people doing mitzvahs is that the mitzvah gets done by hook or by crook, or that I do it by hook or by crook, then yes, that's a very, very good approach. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us in that Yisrael within 11 days, so, and whatever it is that's psychologically we're not ready for it, we're afraid, whatever it is, so we'll just take us and dump us there or make us very strong or whatever it is. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to develop us into people that will want to go in our Yisrael and have the courage to do it, and have the emunah and bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. The same thing is true about mitzvahs. It's not that I should have tefillin on my hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need people doing the mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to become a person that puts tefillin on his hands, that ties himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the kesher tefillin. So, the Rambam says, if you want to change a person, you need to go slowly. Because when you go instantly, you're basically forcing it. And sometimes forcing is not good. If you want to, so let's take an example. If you want to hold down a page or something that's not in place, you can take a very heavy weight and put it on it, and it'll stay there as long as the weight's on it. Take the weight off the page. Flies the other way. If you slowly bend the page slowly till it's folded on the other pages and it's not snapping out or whatever it is, it will stay there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tachlis of Torah and mitzvahs is to change a person, to develop a person, so that the person becomes a mitzvahic person, a Torahic person, and therefore the process is very important, and it's a slow process. Just like, if we can give a contemporary mashal, when you want to take out a bad tooth, you yank it out. When you want to straighten teeth and you want to keep the teeth, you apply very gentle pressure so that it slowly, very drop by drop, it takes a year, it takes 2 years to get into place, because you don't want to snap the tooth into place, because it's not going to snap into place. You want the tooth to grow into place. And for something to become part of the person himself, it's a process, and that process takes time, and it's not always direct. So sometimes you get a child, for instance, do A with the hope that that will lead them to B and eventually C. Roundabout, if we know what we're doing, is very appropriate if the direct way is going to clash or whatever it is. So the Rambam here in Mor Nevuchim is telling us an extraordinary understanding of general Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. General Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that it's taking us to become a different person. And therefore, it's the slow, measured steps. So if the only way I could understand what happened to me on the way to Eretz Yisrael, how did I become transformed from inside Eretz Yisrael? What needed to change in me? It's only if I look and retrace my steps. And each step of the way was, in its own right, a certain process, a certain change. And the whole picture becomes much more clear when I'm able to see all the pieces matching up and slowly be changing and so on and so forth. I'd like to talk a little bit about what life is. Again, we tend to think of life as being a certain goal. And if, you know, and to question, no reason why we can't get there directly, 1, 2, 3, but we always mess up and so on and so forth. That's that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give us a long life, as Hashem, for just many misses. So in our mind, it's you know, we have 120 years, 119 of them we could take pot shots and miss, and the year we get it, that's great. That's not the tzur of it. The Gemara says in Kedushin, one man Yama says, a person should stand up even for a non-learned old man. And it says the reason is kama harpetka ot odu ade hai gavra. Look at how much turmoil. The word harpetka in modern Hebrew is translated as adventures, but that's not adventures, kind of exciting, fun type. That's not the meaning of the word in the Gemara. The Gemara means he's gone through a lot of turmoil, challenges, etc. in life. So the question is, so what? We stand up for people out of respect. So parents, we respect the fact that they're the ones who gave us life and so on and so forth. And a chacham, that's the main area of kavod, is we give kavod to somebody who's a chacham. You know, the zaken, that's v'adatav zaken, we're talking about zeshekana chachma. Somebody who has a quiet chachma. So what is it? What is it? So yes, this person has suffered a lot. He's gone through a lot. Okay, I have rachmanis on him. That's you know, that's perfectly legitimate. But where does that translate into the hadat of nizaket? Into the element of a zaken, of a wise person? And the answer is because life is a base medrash. And the Rosh Hashiva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the courses that we need to take to become the people we need to become. Unfortunately, people use vocabulary for today that I think sometimes is counterproductive. they talk about tikkunim, and it becomes translated to things that seem to have, you know, by doing this and this strange thing, I'm making a tikkun and something that needed a tikkun. I think we need to retranslate that word tikkun into what it really means. A person is born with many, many middos that are less than ideal. Young children are sweet and wonderful. Babies are sweet and wonderful. It's hard to say that midos tovos are part of that package. A child is a child naturally wants things for himself. He's, you know, that's the nature of a child. We go through a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through different situations. You have children, you learn savlonis, you learn ayin tova. The halacha is that someone who has no children can't be in a Sanhedrin that paskins on death penalties, because when you have a child, you're able to see a good side that you could never have before. You have patience. You are affected by so many things. A person has to make parnasa, and he fails. Bitachon begins to become something that is natural. You know, I was sure this would work. I was sure this wouldn't work. This came out from nowhere. This went here. This went there. A person runs after Meshagasin, and then he realizes that the Meshagasin are worthless. So the person is not, the person begins to realize that, yes, the world is empty, and the world itself has no pleasures that stick with you. Yes, I ran after this, I ran after that, and I ran after the other thing, and at the end, I'm just empty. Those are things that a Musa Shmuz cannot in itself give you any type, it can't begin to give you the type of input that life does. There's nobody as worked out and developed in Midas, in Chachma, in Tov, as somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him through the track that he needed to go. So the real understanding that a person needs to have, what's going to be tomorrow, that we need to learn bitachon. We learn to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know the tomorrow. My obligation is to do what's good and what's right. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu worry about tomorrow. What's happening now? On the day that we'll have a Navi or Urim V'Tumim, the Avoda will be to listen what the Navi is going to tell us to do. But our real obligation is to look back, because we don't appreciate and understand who we are unless we understand what we've become and how we've become. When a person looks through his life retroactively and tries to think a little bit about it, he always picked the thing. Oh, this was a success. This was not a success. One second. And what did the failure teach you? Are you the same person you were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? What changed in you? What are the things that cause you to change? To look at other people well? What are the things that cause you to stop speaking about other people? When you got hurt, when you felt you said something that hurt somebody, that process of developing a person is the journey. And the journey is part of who we are. It's not like a process. How did we get that? So we took a flight. Is that? No. The process of getting there was this slowly worked out, this element, this disappointment caused us to think twice about what's important in life. This caused this, this caused that. That's the type of understanding you get when you retroactively look back and make that cheshbon. I think that that's a second meaning, and that's Tfas Emes who we're speaking about. The Tfas Emes says that go back, it tells you something about Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega, that at the end of the process, he recaps it. They weren't, because right now, the cities that they've been, the camping grounds they've been to, has become who they are. And it's all included together in what they are and who they are. I want to finish with Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says a phenomenal vart on, it says, when Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Nas Kvaidecha. So Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to hit him in a cave, and he said, I'll walk by. And he told him, you know, as after I walk by, you'll be able to see the quote-unquote back, but not the punim. And he's told him, V'ra'iseh sachayrei u'panei le'yiroh. You'll see the back and not the front. Which, you know, it's a metaphor. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no back, no front, no side. There's no... So the Chassam Sofer says, we can only see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha in the back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha when he's passed by, not before. We can't walk alongside Kaviyachol and sort of, you know, live with knowing what he's doing. What we can see, what Moshe Rabbeinu can see, is what has transpired after it's transpired. I think these things are extremely valuable now. This tkufa is the tkufa of the 9 days of Tisha B'Av. It's the tkufa when we dwell on the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. And it's hard not to sort of think about this, since it's the tkufa when we're sort of dwelling on the difficult periods in Klal Yisrael's history. It sort of also feels each person's own difficult periods are sort of his personal gullus. Gullus is not the time that you were not in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the time you were not in the Gula. It's what led you to the Gula. Without having been in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael could not have been Eretz Yisrael. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up, you know, the Bris Ben Absarim. And the reason was because Mitzrayim was a tremendously excruciating, purifying process. It was a process that changed Klal Yisrael in a way that they could be the Amon Yifcha and get the Torah and go to Eretz Yisrael. And we only, why is it that this is needed and that's needed and the other suffering's needed? Yes, after we went to Eretz Yisrael, we retroactively understood what midos, what chunis were needed in order to get there. And then when the journey finished, it was important to recap it. Baruch Hashem, every one of us is bezeichet to a long journey, but the more we move on, we can it's look back. We need to keep making a cheshbon. How is it that where we've gotten to, we've become better people through that? And Baruch Hashem, when we recap our masos, and every time I make a cheshbon nefesh, it's not only what to improve, but how has HaKadosh Baruch Hu led us through the difficulties, through the challenges, through the frustrations, to change us and to make us people that are more edel, more tzalmakim, more ro'uy for the gula. Baruch Hashem, the long journey should come up, should end soon, and Baruch Hashem, we should also have the clarity to be able to look back and understand how we have all the difficulties of the thousands of years of Golos have brought us and made us the Amon Yifcha. Agud.
Thank you very much. It's beautiful. Could I just ask you, could we just recap? We look back, fine. Mm. So now when somebody is actually going through a tzara, a single who can't find her shidduch, a parent who has a child with, when you're actually living it, you know, later when you look back, you grew from it, it's true. But when you're actually living it, how do you eat the challenge? And if it's a tzara, then it's sorry. And how do you eat it? What do you tell yourself? The Shas Maisa.
So, the Bashas Maisa, obviously tefillah, obviously making some tikkun, but the belief of Hashkocha, of Hashkocha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bitochen, is not so much that what will happen is what I want, but that what's happening has a reason for it. And it's a, if I give a mashal, and it's a mashal, it's sort of latent in the Chazanish's words. The imagine somebody is chas v'shalom in a dark night and he's being attacked. It's terrifying. It's terribly terrifying. It's terrible. Imagine a person, a child in a hospital with his parent. So it's still difficult. It's painful. But there's a sense that somewhere along the line, his parent is taking him to this place. His parent, there's a rhyme and a reason. It's not. And part of the tsar of being in a difficult situation is like it says in Parshas Vayechi, you know, that nistema enav. Part of Golos is we're in a situation where we see no way out. And, you know, I've been in my life in some difficult situations, different areas where when you're in it, you're blind, and that's part of the difficulty of it. But the one thing, Gam Ke'elech, Begeitz HaMavis Be'yura, Atay Modi, it means I'm terrified of the situation, it's difficult, but I do know there's hashgacha, and there's a reason why. Searching for the reason, if it's in the realm of the normal, you tell a person to do a shtadlus of derech hateva, which is reasonable, so of course I'm pleased to do it. Tfilah, tzedakah, but understanding that down deep the difficulties are a part of a process is something that that's where the emunah lies, that retroactively you'll understand it. But until that point, that's part of the difficulty of it. So the emunah b'tochen is the difficulty of it is changing me. It's making me a different person. I'll tell over. I don't know how much time we have left, but I'll tell over an anecdote.
No, we have time. It's not. Yeah, I mean, I'm not thinking about, but I just think it's a very important. I'll tell you why, because everybody feels. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. Like the challenges are more than they used to be. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the challenges were, and every generation has its challenges. And that's part of the DNA of the way the world's created. Like Hashem gives us challenges for the reasons that the Rav said, because that's how we have to grow. But B'shas Mas, I think it's very important when people go through the challenge to know it's from the Abish, like exactly what. You know, the Emunah B'tochen, to know that it's this challenge was given to me. You know what it is? I feel that, like, when we're in school, we learn these things. Like, everybody, Hashem tests you, and any test you have, you can pass it. And it's all very beautiful. Right. But when Hashem actually tests you, you're like, whoa. I mean, maybe you have the wrong person.
You know,
I just want to get a clarity of how to deal with the challenges.
Every single doctor starts. I was just speaking to somebody who's just graduated as a doctor, and he said, he said, I know it all. I aced my tests. And so the Eberstel Pete, I have no idea what to do. You know, he said, I haven't put my hands on it. And that's why life is the base medrash of people actually living it. And yes, there's no way in which book learning and mushmoos, it can give you the information that you need to help you cope with it. But at the end of the day, the actual feeling of what it is, whether a person waits for shidduch, or a person waits lalein for kids, or a person waits for parnasa, or a person waits for any yeshua, it's the process itself edelweiss the person. And you see people who've gone through difficult situations. They're different. And like I say, I myself, my own difficulties, I can say it's changed me. Looking the way you look at things, the way you look at people, and that's the way it is.
I just wanted to like clarify that point, because I think besides later to look back, but the Shas Maisa, to everyone to realize exactly all these points, like, don't fight it, grow with it, because there's no point in fighting it, because it's there.
And as people get older, you begin to see, you know, you look back and then you're able to please try to accept it. Okay, guten, and we should.
Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. Very important. Very important. You started, and really, that, especially for this time of year when we look at the challenges and we're like, we're in this Nisoyan, but Thank you for taking the time. I really, really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much.